What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Brandon DeCruz, and today is episode 94, where we're going to discuss the topic of building versus cutting phases and the benefits of getting outside of a mindset of restriction and into a mindset of abundance and addition by going into a building phase. And I specifically wanted to cover the topic of building phases, as most of the content around the new year is focused on fat loss. So I want to shift the paradigm and focus on fueling for body composition improvement, because going into a muscle growth focused phase, aka a building phase, is something that many of you would benefit from doing, especially if your goal is to build a more muscular physique that allows you to look better, perform better, feel better, and function better day to day. And this is an especially important topic to cover, as I find that the majority of individuals I encounter have a history of dieting in the past and going through multiple fat loss phases, but few have actually dedicated a period of time where they focused on maximizing muscle growth. So many are unaware of the many benefits they can get from getting out of a deficit, properly fueling themselves, and building metabolically active lean muscle tissue. And another common situation I find with many of the individuals that contact me for coaching is that many of them had a long history of dieting and aiming at losing body fat, yet they still haven't achieved the physique they desire. And that's due to the fact that they don't have enough muscle to display the lean muscular physique that they want to. And this is what many refer to as having a skinny fat physique. But the issue with this is that many of these individuals focus so heavily on wanting to be leaner that they predominantly focus on the fat loss side of things. However, every time that they finish another dieting cycle, they're still not happy with how they look, and that's because they're under-muscled and have never committed a solid period of time towards building muscle. So on today's podcast, we're going to cover a variety of topics, including why your summer body is built in the winter, the goal of a strategically periodized and calculated building phase, why we want to be out of a deficit to maximize muscle gain, and why you're not going to diet your way to a more muscular physique, the benefit of going up to maintenance and even beyond maintenance for muscle gaining purposes, why you want to be in a slight surplus to maximize your rate of muscle gain. We're going to compare and contrast the rate of muscle gain and muscle growth versus the rate of fat loss. We're going to discuss why slow and steady is the best approach for both fat loss and muscle gain goals. We're going to discuss how easy it is, honestly, to lose body fat as compared to gain muscle. And then also we're going to tie everything up with why and what is the importance of building a foundation of muscle, especially if your goal is to actually yield or actually achieve a lean muscular physique in the long term? So the first topic I want to cover on today's episode is why your summer body is built in the winter, as what you do now and the approach you take with your nutrition and training during this season is what will either set you up for success or for failure in the future. And it's important to realize that the body you want to strut this summer isn't going to be built overnight, especially if your goal is to build muscle, which is a time-consuming process that takes time, attention, energy, and effort, and is best achieved by going into a building phase where your nutrition and training are paired and matched in a periodized manner to maximize your rate of muscle growth. And one of the main reasons why people don't achieve the physique goals they set and fail to gain a significant amount of muscle tissue or to achieve the lean muscular physique that they're aiming for or aiming to display at the end of a fat loss phase is that most will hold off and wait until it's too late to realistically reach their goal in the time period for which they wish to achieve an improved physique for, whether that be for the summer, for a vacation, an upcoming wedding, or a special event like a birthday or anniversary. And many make one of these mistakes in terms of approaching their summer physique goals. One, they wait until, you know, a couple months before summer begins, and then they have to go to extremes to lose weight quickly. So they end up rushing the process and don't like how they look by the end. And this happens both with building and cutting phases, as many will rush the process of muscle growth and try to gain at a fast rate. Yet, for anyone who's not a newbie to training, all that generally results in is excess fat gain, which now requires you to diet even harder and longer to get that extra fat off. And often this results in you losing muscle during your diet. So you end your fat loss phase with a body composition you're still not happy with. Another common situation and common mistake is they took it easy all winter and gained fat and can't get into the shape they desire in time for summer or whatever event they're aiming for. And then the third is someone that makes the mistake of they'll do a cut and realize that they didn't have enough muscle mass to reach their desired physique and the look that they were aiming for. And this last situation is extremely common place for many to find themselves in. And seeing as fat loss is the most common goal for many, Most people will neglect the benefits that they can get from periodizing their body composition goals in a manner where they spend periods of time building muscle and then other periods of time focusing on losing body fat to yield a better body composition overall. The next topic I want to cover is the benefits of going into a building phase to improve your long-term physique outcomes. So when a client comes to me with the goal of drastically improving their body composition, the vast majority of the time, I'm going to include a dedicated period of gaining muscle and a building phase in our approach to their physique goals. Losing fat is great from an aesthetic perspective and an aesthetic standpoint, but if you're someone who describes themselves as skinny fat, or what I think is more appropriately termed a state of being overfat yet under-muscled, building muscle is going to be the most influential factor to changing your body, overall body composition, in a positive manner, as gaining muscle improves the overall shape of your physique and can not only allow you to look leaner at the same body weight or even a heavier body weight, but can also make the process of getting leaner in the future far easier. And the thing is, we can always diet to get lean after completing a productive building phase. But if you just diet to get lean without any focus on building muscle, you're not going to diet your way to gaining a significant amount of muscle. And this is the mistake many in the general population make, where they just keep dieting and dieting and becoming a skinnier, smaller version of themselves and losing muscle in the process, which increases their likelihood of regaining an excessive amount of fat after the diet and experiencing what's referred to as body fat overshooting, aka the post-diet rebound, due to having lost metabolically active muscle tissue and lean mass, having significantly decreased their total daily energy expenditure, having a slower metabolic rate, and downregulating their hormonal profile. However, if you spend time building muscle and gain a significant amount of lean mass, you'll improve your body composition. You'll increase the amount of calories your body burns per day, both at rest and during exercise, as calorie burn is a function of total work performed, which is heavily influenced by how heavy you can lift. So if you do a build phase and you get stronger throughout the process, you're going to be able to lift your current training loads for more reps. You're going to be able to lift heavier loads in general and in total, and also perform more sets across time, which increases the total amount of calories that you burn per day. You'll also increase your metabolism throughout this process, and you'll improve your hormone profile due to being in an adequate energy availability state. So when it comes to achieving our physique goals, we want to approach our programming in a manner that sets us up for success in the future. And often the best way to do so and to accomplish this is to strategically include time periods spent building and fueling our training and time spent cutting and focus on losing fat and maximizing muscle retention. Before we get into the details of how to go about a building phase, I want to cover the goals of a building phase, as there are many misconceptions surrounding building muscle due to some of these suboptimal approaches people have taken in the past, which has resulted in these individuals gaining excess fat. And this often results in other individuals being scared or hesitant to going into a building phase, whether it be that they had a poor experience previously or they saw someone in their immediate surrounding, one of their peers, one of their friends, go through a building phase, gain an excessive amount of body fat because they did it suboptimally and they didn't do it properly. And then they fear that that's going to be the same long-term result that they're going to get if they go into a building phase. So it's just they have a poor understanding of what a building phase is, the goals behind it, and also the approach that should be taken. So the goal of a well-programmed building phase is to increase muscle mass while minimizing unnecessary and excessive increases in fat mass. And this is why I specifically refer to these as a building phase, as the main objective during this phase is to build our bodies through the accrual of lean mass, which is metabolically active muscle tissue. Not to just gain weight, which is a mistake many who take a less strategic approach to building muscle and take what is referred to as a dirty bulking approach or an aggressive bulking or an aggressive massing approach end up yielding. So during a building phase, my goal is to set up my client's programming in a manner where I create an anabolic environment that is conducive to build muscle, improve their training performance, and gain strength, and where I'm also able to shift them from a mindset of restriction and subtraction to a mindset of abundance and addition, as your body follows your brain. So in order to maximize your ability to gain muscle, you need to have your mindset in the right place, or else you'll never be able to see the true extent of your muscle building potential, and you'll keep hindering your progress and holding yourself back from truly reaching the best physique that you're capable of. So I want to cover why we want to be out of an energy deficit to maximize muscle gain and why you're not going to diet your way to a more muscular physique. So regardless of whether your goal is to build muscle, lose body fat, get stronger, or to improve your performance, nutrition is a key component needed to get there. And as with any goal, you need to prioritize your approach and build your foundation. And that starts by nailing the big rocks before we move on to the smaller pebbles and sand. And this is something that's truly important because a lot of people get caught up in the minutiae and they haven't mastered the basics yet, or they haven't even built the fundamental, foundation essentially to really catapult them to greater success. So everything starts with your habits, your behaviors, and your lifestyle as a whole. And this includes what you consistently do, your eating habits and nutrition decisions, your habits and behaviors around training, activity, sleep, and stress management, and then also how consistent and adherent you are to a program. And then to achieve a physique goal, we actually have to get into the more nitty-gritty details of your nutrition, starting with energy balance, which refers to your energy intake and your energy expenditure. So when it comes to what state of energy balance we want to be in during a building phase, I first want to cover, why we want to be out of an energy deficit. To be able to maximize muscle gain. So although we technically can gain muscle in a deficit, which is something I covered on episodes 82, 83, and 84 of the podcast, which were all in the concept of body recomposition, you will not maximize your muscle building potential in a deficit. In order to increase our rate of muscle growth, we want to be eating at least at maintenance calories for a prolonged period of time. But if you are someone who has the goal of building a good amount of muscle tissue, like that lean mass, you're better off eating above maintenance and into a slight surplus. And this is because building muscle is an energy-intensely and costly process. So we need to focus on adequately fueling ourselves to be able to effectively and efficiently build lean mass. And in order to maximize muscle growth from a nutritional perspective, we want to stay out of a deficit during a building phase due to how being in a state of negative energy balance, aka calorie deficit, impacts our rates of muscle protein synthesis. And this is an important factor to be aware of because in order to build muscle, we need to be in a state of positive protein balance over time, meaning our rates of muscle protein synthesis need to exceed and be higher than our rates of muscle protein breakdown so that our muscle cells can accrue new protein and build tissue over time. However, if we stay in a state of negative protein balance, our muscles will lose protein and be less likely to grow and will be also more predisposed towards muscle atrophy, aka muscle loss. Now, the reason why muscle growth is not maximized when we're in a substantial deficit is because being in a deficit decreases our rates of muscle protein synthesis. So, for example, in a 2010 study, researchers took young, healthy adults and put them through two dietary conditions lasting 10 days each. And in both conditions, they consumed 1.5 grams per kilogram of protein per day. But in one condition, they were in energy balance, meaning they were eating at maintenance calories. And the other condition, they were in a 20% deficit. Well, after 10 days of being in a 20% deficit, they had lost 2.2 pounds. So we know that they were in a substantial deficit and their muscle protein synthesis levels were reduced by 19%. So we see that there's a decrease or a hindering of muscle protein synthesis when being in a deficit and losing body weight. Then in 2014 study, researchers tested the effects of an even more aggressive deficit and its impacts on protein synthesis levels and found that being in a 33% deficit, meaning they took these participants' maintenance calories and cut them by a third and put them into a substantial energy deficit. This led to a 27% reduction in muscle protein synthesis in resistance-trained individuals. So we see that being in a deficit can reduce muscle protein synthesis by between 19 to 27% on average. Now, this range will depend on the severity and the size of the energy deficit, but when we look at research on actual lean mass changes during a deficit, we have recent research which has dove and dug into this topic. So, in a 2021 meta-analysis and meta-regression, researchers examined how a calorie deficit impacts lean mass gains and resistance training outcomes. And when looking at the magnitude of a deficit and its effects on lean mass gains, they found that a 500-calorie deficit per day was the point at which noticeable gains in lean mass stopped being seen. So, they found that gains in lean mass were seen below a 500-calorie daily deficit, and the losses in lean mass were seen above going above a 500-calorie daily deficit on the group average. So for most participants in these studies, around a 500-calorie deficit was the point at which noticeable gains in muscle ceased to occur in most of the studies analyzed. So we'd want to make sure that if recomp was your goal, you're at less than a 500-calorie deficit, which is something that we did, cover in our body recomposition series that we did. However, they also conducted a meta-regression and looked at changes in lean mass and resistance training studies where they had one group in a deficit and another group at energy balance. And when you look at the graph and actual individual data points in this meta regression, you see that on average, those who were resistance training and eating at maintenance gain more lean mass than those who resistance training even in a moderate deficit. So we see maintenance as compared to even a slight deficit is superior for gaining muscle tissue. They also had data where they compared eating at around 100 calorie surplus. So meaning this is just a slight calorie surplus with being in a deficit to examine the difference in effects between both intakes on muscle gain and strength gain. And they found that being in a deficit as compared to being in a slight surplus resulted in less gains in lean mass, and they hindered strength gains a little bit as compared to training and eating at or a little bit above maintenance calories. So when your goal is to maximize your ability to gain muscle, you want to stay out of deficit so that you can maximize muscle protein synthesis levels and build muscle at the maximum rate you're able to, as muscle growth is already a slow process as it is. So if you're constantly in a deficit, you're only making this process slower and less effective. And actually, you're capping your ability to maximize muscle growth. So this leads me to the benefit of going up to maintenance calories and beyond for muscle gain purposes. And a lot of individuals are hesitant to go into a surplus or even to maintenance calories. And this thought process often bottlenecks their ability to build muscle. So I want to cover the benefit of going up to maintenance calories and even beyond, and even into a slight surplus for the purpose of gaining muscle. So first and foremost, muscle growth involves the process of protein turnover, which is an energetically expensive process. And the process of stimulating muscle protein synthesis takes a ton of energy, aka calories. And in order to gain muscle, we need to ensure we synthesize more muscle protein than we break down so that our levels of muscle protein synthesis consistently exceed our levels of muscle protein breakdown and thus put us in a state of net positive protein balance, because that's what's needed to gain tissue. And so research finds that the daily energy cost of protein turnover is approximately 4.3 calories per kilogram of body weight, or about 20% of your basal metabolic rate. So even just to stimulate the process of muscle growth and muscle protein synthesis, we need enough energy to do so. And energy is coming from those calories. And there's also a massive benefit that comes with increasing calories to at least maintenance, or preferably to a slight surplus, when it comes to maximizing your muscle gain potential. So first and foremost, increasing your calorie intake and energy availability and properly fueling yourself provides you with increased energy for productive training. And by doing so, you'll feel better due to being better fueled for your sessions. So you'll be able to push your training harder and put yourself in the best position to maximize muscle gain. Building phases are also a great time to bring up lagging muscle groups when you have enough energy available in the system to really devote that excess, energy that you're taking in towards the development of lagging muscle groups. And one approach I found really effective is to pair a building phase from a nutrition perspective with a specialization cycle approach while design a macro cycle, or, what's also referred to as a block of training, designed to provide a greater stimulus to one or two muscle groups that are lagging development for a client or that that client really wants to bring up. And this is something I actually just finished constructing yesterday for one of my clients, Chelsea, who's a fitness professional herself. And after completing a primer phase, I've transitioned her into a lean building phase, which I've paired with a delt and glute specialization cycle, as those are the two main muscle groups she wanted to bring up most and she really wanted to work on during this phase. And when we're in a building phase and fueling for what we're doing, we can engage in more intense training and recover from harder training, which allows us to place a greater stimulus on certain muscles in order to develop them more than you have during previous phases. Sufficiently fueling yourself will not only improve your energy for training, your training performance, and how hard you can push yourself in the gym, but it will also enhance your recovery capacity. And recovery is important for many reasons. Recovery from training is needed to recuperate from our training so that we can adapt and grow from the training we've done, as well as so that we can lower the amount of time it takes to get back to an enhanced state of performance so we can continue training in a progressive fashion, which allows us to improve over time. And if your recovery isn't optimized and prioritized, it can hinder and limit your ability to adapt and respond to the stimulus of training. It can also hinder your physique development. It can limit your performance in subsequent or future sessions. It can result in excessive muscle soreness and fatigue, and it can cause fatigue to accumulate quicker. So basically, you could be putting in the same amount of work or even more, but not reaping the same rewards due to a lack of recovery. And one of the most effective interventions we have at our disposal to improve our recovery capacity is proper nutrition and sufficient fueling. And eating at maintenance or beyond will improve your biofeedback so that you can sleep better, which is going to have downstream impacts not only on your recovery capacity, but also on your ability to accrete and to accrue lean mass and also to ward off body fat gain. It'll help you feel more satiated and more full, and your day-to-day energy levels will be higher, which will improve your quality of life. Then when we look, so I just went over some of the physiological benefits, but when we look from a psychological perspective, I also find that transitioning a client out of a dieting phase and out of a deficit and to a building phase helps to shift them from a mindset of restriction and subtraction to a mindset of abundance and addition. And a slight surplus means more food than you're used to eating, which I find helps clients better adhere because they're not dealing with issues related to increased hunger and appetite from dieting all the time as they have in the past. and can also improve their relationship with food, which is something that many struggle with, but it's something that generally won't improve if you stay in a deficit, as this requires caloric restriction, which can often lead to feeling mentally restricted as well. And last but not least, sufficiently fueling yourself during a building phase makes that next mini cut or that next fat loss phase that you go into far easier. Because at the peak of a building phase, most of us are so full that they don't have the appetite or the desire to eat that much. So it makes the first few weeks of their next fat loss phase much easier because they're happy to be able to eat less and have so much energy still from being in a well-fed state for so long that they're firing on all cylinders. And their body is far more responsive to a deficit, which makes for quicker, more effective, and efficient fat loss progress. And what's interesting about this is I'm about to wrap up a fat loss phase with one of my clients, Catherine. So Catherine, shout out to you. And she just commented she's in her last week and we're just finishing this strong. The last adjustments that I made to the fat loss phase were last week. So this is going to last her for a duration of 2 weeks. And we had a conversation about all her progress that she's made, because when she first came to me, she was about 12 kilograms heavier than she is now. However, she had just went through a very successful mini cut. But you know, she had issues with biofeedback, training performance, things like that. So when she came to me, I put her through a primer phase, and this was well over a year ago. And I remember telling her, listen, I really want to go into a productive building phase because we need to accrue muscle tissue. Like, that is your limiting factor to your physique. So we spent 8 to 9 months in a building phase, and it was a substantial period of time. However, she really responded well. And we were able to get her into a place where she had gained a significant amount more muscle. And she was eating about 475 grams of carbs at the end of this building phase. So she was eating a ton and still great body composition. But we're going back and forth yesterday in her check-in. And essentially, she was remarking how she was so thankful because this fat loss phase was far easier than anyone she had ever done in the past. And she almost felt like it was a little bit, it was kind of like a mind fuck to her, because she never expected to be able to get as lean as she is. Because throughout the course of this fat loss phase, we've lost about 10 kilograms, which is approximately 22 pounds. And it's been a long fat loss phase. We've done this slow and steady. However, she's like, I really haven't suffered. And I was just so amazed. And it really comes down to the fact, and she remarked about this as well, that we set her up with a great foundation, got her into a well-fed state. We kept her into a slight surplus for an extended period of time. She gained a ton of muscle. I mean, this girl's physique, I cannot wait to post the before and after pictures from where she came to me, which was at the end of a mini cut. So she was as lean as she had been up until that point, up until this point, because she has gained so much muscle. And then she's also lost so much body fat. She's a completely different physique, and it's startling to say the least, and I'm truly proud of her. But really, the success in her fat loss phase, we wouldn't have had that same success if I took her right from that mini cut and put her right into a full-on fat loss phase. It was that we spent a substantial period of time building muscle, setting her up for success, and it potentiated the progress that she made going forward. Whereas we started with such a high calorie intake that we had a lot to pull from. She had built a ton of muscle, so she was able to maintain her body weight on far greater amount of calories than she had previously. So even her dieting calories were much higher than she had dieted in the past. And it was a far easier process for her, both physically and mentally. So it was much more productive. And we've gotten to her leanest physique to date. And she hasn't suffered throughout this process, which is something that she commented to me. She said, listen, I always thought that getting this lean would be miserable. It would be, and don't get me wrong, there are many stages. She's like photo shoot lean, but if she was to get into contest shape, you know, it would require suffering. That is something that I won't disregard. And I've been in contest shape 15 times in my life, and it is something that's grueling. However, for a general client that's a lifestyle client, I don't think that there's a necessity to do that. And also, I believe in setting up my clients for success. And it really comes down to the building phase before going into a fat loss phase. So this is just something to keep in mind as to why we want to be eating at least at maintenance, or preferably in a slight surplus for an extended period of time before you even turn your attention to going into a deficit and aiming at fat loss. Next topic I want to cover is why, if your goal is to maximize muscle gain, you need to sufficiently fuel yourself and go into a slight surplus. As I personally encounter a ton of individuals who want to build muscle, but who fear going into even the smallest of surpluses to accomplish this goal, which often slows down the rate of progress. And this is something I find myself having a discussion with, especially with the females that I work with, the women that I work with. And I understand the fear. And here's the thing. Coaching is about meeting people where they're at, but also helping to guide them through the process and get them out of their comfort zone. Because often when we stay within our comfort zone, that is what limits our true potential. And there's been so many clients and so many examples I can think of off the top of my head that I have pushed them past their boundaries of what they would have done for themselves. And this includes fitness professionals, dietitians, other nutritionists that I've worked with and that I coach. And it really took me challenging them to really maximize their ability to make progress. And so when it comes to the goal of building muscle, the two most effective tools that we have at our disposal and the two levers we can pull to maximize muscle growth is to follow a progressive resistance training program that checks off all the boxes from a training volume, frequency, intensity, and effort perspective. And in order to maximize muscle hypertrophy, you need to make sure you're training in a manner where you push yourself to improve your performance over time, which indicates that you've provided a robust enough stimulus to check the progressive overload box. And we want to pair that progressive training stimulus with a high protein diet where you're taking in a sufficient calorie intake. And ideally, we want to be in a surplus to maximize anabolism. But if not, we need to at least be eating at maintenance to cover the energetic demands of our training, our activity levels, and our lifestyle as a whole. And the reason why I say that we ideally want to be in a calorie surplus is because the process of building muscle is an energetically expensive process. So there's an energetic cost, or essentially like a toll, that we need to pay to be able to build more metabolically active tissue. And if you're someone who wants to gain pounds of lean mass, that's not going to be done eating in a deficit or even at maintenance. As a coach, I often have new clients come to me who want to diet but also want to grow muscle. And yes, it is true that some individuals can build muscle in a deficit and recomp. But if your goal is to maximize the amount of lean mass you gain, you need to avoid being in a deficit to do so. In order to optimize our ability to put on lean muscle tissue, we need to at least be at maintenance calories. But I'd argue that we need to be in a slight surplus to actually maximize muscle growth. So when we're eating at maintenance, we're not only in energy balance, but we're also in protein balance. So our levels of muscle protein synthesis are basically just offsetting our levels of muscle protein breakdown. And building muscle is an energetically expensive process, which requires us to disrupt our baseline states, essentially disrupt homeostasis. And so we need to do that through a progressive training stimulus and sufficient energy intake to accompany that training stimulus. And for those of you who want to gain muscle, but who fear eating, eating at maintenance, I think it's important to realize that food is fuel and calories are energy. So in order to maximize your ability to gain more size, you should be going into a slight surplus, because this is going to allow you to maximally stimulate muscle protein synthesis and minimize muscle protein breakdown, which can't be done in a calorie deficit. It's going to allow you to provide enough of an energy substrate to fuel the hard training needed to build muscle tissue. It's going to optimize the replenishment and the recovery of the energy we burn through training in order to maximize our recovery, as proper fueling, adequate nutrition, and sufficient energy availability are our main recovery modalities that we have at our disposal from a nutritional perspective. And we want to have enough calories both from a macronutrient and a micronutrient perspective to perform all the processes our body needs to go through on a daily basis, in conjunction with being able to accrete or produce or build muscle tissue. And we want to make sure that we're getting sufficient energy availability to maintain optimal or adequate hormone levels. And being in a surplus of energy is anabolic state in and of itself. So if you're taking in more energy than you're burning, it requires that this excess energy be stored. So being in a slight surplus allows you to maximize protein synthesis and minimize protein degradation and oxidation. And now, as I've covered in past podcasts, we can gain muscle eating at maintenance. However, the big reason as to why I'm suggesting to go into a slight surplus is because the gains you'll make at maintenance are far lower than the ones you'll make in a slight surplus. And if you have the goal of gaining a significant amount of muscle and you want to gain 10 to 15 pounds of lean mass, for example, so that could be a male going from 170 to 185, or 180 or 185 pounds, or you're a woman and you want to go from, say, 130 to a muscular 140 or 145. You really want to fill out your frame, get better shape, have, larger, rounder delts, rounder glutes, things of that sort. You're not going to get there simply by eating at maintenance calories, as muscle is metabolically active tissue, which requires energy, meaning it requires calories to be built, which is why we want to eat a bit above maintenance to put ourselves in the most anabolic and conducive environment to maximize muscle mass accrual, as being in a surplus is beneficial for building muscle, and it's one of the easiest ways to help accelerate our rate of muscle gain. And this isn't about eating big to get big, or overfeeding yourself excessively, or stuffing, food down your throat, but it is about providing a sufficient amount of energy to build muscle and put yourself in the best position to succeed. The other reason why being in a slight surplus is beneficial for gaining muscle is because there are many processes that are involved in the building of muscle tissue, which are energy costly processes. So we want to make sure that we're eating enough to fuel these processes and cover the energy demand of these physiological processes. And this includes the calorie cost of increased protein turnover, which I alluded to. It's about 20% of our resting metabolic rate, or basal metabolic rate rather. And this includes both our muscle protein synthesis levels and muscle protein breakdown levels that happen with hard training. We need to cover the calorie cost of resistance training. And this demand will increase as you continue to progress your training stimulus via progressive overload. And this includes the energy needed to fuel your productive training sessions, but also it needs to consider the recovery from those workouts that requires calories to really fuel that recovery and enhance that recovery process. We need to think about the increase in your total daily energy expenditure due to the adaptive thermogenesis of being in a surplus. So when we eat more, this increases our total daily energy expenditure via increases in the thermic effect of feeding. Then also by gaining tissue, especially, muscle tissue. So this is metabolically active tissue. This in and of itself is going to increase our BMR and our exercise activity thermogenesis. And many will also notice increases in their movement. So NEAT will increase as a result of eating more. Another aspect of eating more and building muscle that many don't take into account is that we undergo metabolic adaptations when eating in a surplus, as taking in more calories each day allows us to burn more calories per day. Just like when we go into a fat loss phase and reduce our calorie intake below maintenance, it decreases the amount of calories that our body can burn per day. So eating in a surplus can increase energy expenditure in multiple components. So just because we create, say, 200 calorie surplus on paper doesn't mean that we will be in a net 200 calorie surplus, which many don't realize. So they fear that any increases in calories above maintenance are all going to turn into fat. And that's just not the case. However, when we go into a surplus for a prolonged period of time, we see that this increases our BMR just from the act of eating more. We also see that our diet-induced thermogenesis, or the thermic effect of feeding, increases in a surplus, as the more calories you eat, the more calories your body has to burn to digest and assimilate that food. And many can experience large increases in NEAT as a result of eating more. So for example, a great study that elucidates the fact that eating more can cause you to burn more through increases in NEAT as a 1999 overfeeding study by Levine, where researchers overfed participants by 1,000 calories per day for 8 weeks. And even though these participants were not training, they found significant increases in calories burned through their non-exercise activities, which amounted to an average increase in their energy expenditure of 328 calories per day, with one individual increasing their calorie burn via NEAT by around 700 calories per day. And within this study, they found that despite the fact that these individuals weren't training, a large portion of the surplus that they were consuming on a daily basis was actually offset, so burned off by an increase in energy expenditure, with two-thirds of this increase in energy expenditure coming from an increase in NEAT levels, which shows how eating more can burn more calories, as our calorie intake influences our calorie output, which is something that we covered in a recent podcast where we actually went through the fact that intake in terms of if you eat more, you burn more, but also if you eat less, you burn less. So we spoke about both sides of the equation in terms of, metabolic adaptation on the way down when you're losing body fat, as well as metabolic adaptation on the way up when you're gaining metabolically active tissue and eating more. Next thing I want to cover and go over is comparing the rates at which muscle is gained during a building phase as compared to the rate in which body fat can be lost during a fat loss phase. And one major mistake many make is they spend as much time each year focused on cutting and being in an energy deficit as they do focus on building muscle and sufficiently and properly fueling themselves, which often limits their body composition progress long term. And it can also negatively impact their biofeedback, how they feel, how they perform, and how they function. So the process of building muscle is a time-intensive process, which occurs far slower than the process of losing body fat. And this is why if your goal is to develop a more muscular, stronger physique over time, you should be spending far more time throughout the year focusing on adequately fueling yourself, eating in a slight calorie surplus, or at least at maintenance, and progressing your training performance over time in order to put yourself in the most productive and conducive environment for maximizing your rate of muscle growth. And when it comes to the ratio of time spent building versus dieting and cutting, I've seen a 4-to-1 ratio to work extremely well with many of my clients over the years. And this means we spend approximately 4 times the amount of time build in a building phase as we do in a fat loss phase. And I've taken this approach not only based on what I've seen work best with my clients, but also due to the rates at which, rates of gain and loss that I use with clients, as generally during a building phase, I'm aiming to target a 0.25 rate of gain, whereas in a fat loss phase, we'll usually target a 0.5 to 1% rate of loss target. And due to the fact that muscle takes so much longer to build than it does for us to lose body fat, it makes more sense to invest more of our time throughout the year focused on building our bodies than it does to spend the majority of the year dieting, which is the opposite approach that those in the general population take. So seeing as muscle gain is a slow process, we need to stay in a building phase for far longer than we do in a fat loss phase. And this has become this is because unlike with fat loss, where we can mini cut, so we can lose body fat in a fairly quick period of time, we can't mini bulk and expect to actually make progress, as that'll just lead to fat gain due to taking a fast rate of gain. So with a building phase, it's important to not only spend more time fueling ourselves and being in an adequate state of energy availability, but also to target a weekly rate of gain that's much slower than the weekly rate of fat loss we'd use during a fat loss phase. So, for example, in a review by Alan Aragon and Helms, they suggested that a 0.5 to 1% weekly rate of loss be used during a fat loss phase to maximize muscle retention while dropping body fat. However, in another review on nutrition for building muscle that Dr. Eric Helms, who's been a guest on the podcast, was also an author on, they suggested a rate of gain of 0.25% per week during muscle growth phases. So this shows the discrepancy between our rates of fat loss and our rates of muscle gain. And then Dr. Helms has also put out research which has suggested that those looking to build muscle gain at a rate of 0.5 to 2% of body weight per month, not per week. So don't get that confused with your fat loss rates per week. This is per month. And this would be based on your training status and your level of advancement and muscular development. So, for example, the recommendations for rate of body weight gain per month to target during a building phase scale down the more advanced we get and the closer to our genetic ceiling and maximum muscular potential we get. So, the evidence-based recommendations that we have are that those who are brand new to training, so if you're a newbie, you would go at a rate of gain of 2% rate of body weight gain per month. Then, when you get to the intermediate level, you would target a 1 to 1.5% rate of body weight gain per month. And then we go even lower than that to a 0.5 to 1% rate of body weight gain per month for advanced trainees. So the rate of gain and the surpluses used to achieve these rates of gain will differ between less experienced and more advanced trainees. And this is because when we actually look at research and on studies on intermediate and advanced trainees eating to gain muscle versus novice individuals eating to gain muscle, we see that intermediate and advanced trainees gain a larger portion or proportion of fat mass when using the same magnitude of a surplus, so same size of a surplus, and the same rate of gain as new trainees. And as you spend more years training, you get closer to your genetic ceiling. So your rate of adding new muscle tissue slows down. So if you were to use the same energy surplus that you used previously when you were less experienced and you were newer to training, you'll be more likely to gain a disproportionate amount of fat mass compared to lean mass for every pound you gain. And so this is what ends up happening when someone who, when they first started training, they took a dirty bulk approach, or they took, an extended period of time where they just eat in a massive surplus. And in the beginning, you can accrete or you can accrue muscle tissue much quicker. But if you go back to the well again, once you're an intermediate advanced, you'll notice that you're no longer gaining the same amount of lean mass that you did previously when you first started in the gym, when you're making newbie gains. And you're actually gaining much more body fat as a result, which is why we would take, as you get more advanced, we'd slow down that rate of gain that we're targeting. And if improving your physique is the key focus of your training, every additional pound of fat mass gain during your building phase will be another pound you'll need to diet longer and harder to get off during your next cut or your next fat loss phase. And having to diet longer and harder also leaves you more predisposed to losing muscle during a diet. So any additional muscle you added by pushing for more total body weight gain could be lost in this process, which is why it's really important to not focus on a very large rate of body weight gain per week or per month, especially in those that are intermediate or advanced. And this is where using a slower rate of gain and staying in a building phase where you eat a slight surplus is more applicable and beneficial for intermediate to advanced trainees. And this is something which is important to touch on, as many have a skewed perception of how long it takes to build a substantial and a significant amount of muscle tissue, which is why they don't commit nearly enough time to their building phases. And this is one of the main reasons why these individuals don't gain muscle, they don't make the physique progress they desire, and they end up not improving their body composition as much as they could. Point blank, you can't expect to put on a noticeable amount of muscle tissue in 8 to 12 weeks, especially if you're not brand new to training and you're not nailing every single variable day in and day out. And this is because building phases don't work on the same time scale as fat loss phases do. So you cannot gain muscle at anywhere near the rate that you can lose body fat. So if you never commit enough time to a building phase and consistently stay in a slight surplus long enough, you'll never actually grow a substantial amount of muscle tissue, and you'll just continue spending your time spinning your wheels, especially if you're past the newbie stage of training. And this is why so many individuals diet down time and time again, only to realize that their physique doesn't look the way that they want it to, even though they're lean, because they just don't have enough muscle tissue once they've cut down. It's important to realize that due to the fact that gaining muscle is a much slower physiological process than losing body fat, building phases where you're aiming to gain muscle should last significantly longer than fat loss phases. So if you're someone whose goal is to gain muscle, but you're spending the majority of your year in a fat loss phase, you're significantly reducing your likelihood of gaining muscle. This is why when I have a client who has the goal of maximizing muscle gain, I like to have them spend 3 to 4 times as long in a building phase than they do in a fat loss phase, meaning we may spend, say, 8 to 9 months focused on building quality muscle tissue, and then we'll follow it up by spending 2 to 3 months cutting to reveal a leaner, more muscular physique. And this is something I've seen work really well for clients who wish to gain a significant amount of muscle. So, for example, One of the clients of mine who's gained the most tissue is one of my clients, Dimitri, out of Australia, who I've been coaching for approximately 2.5 years. And when we initially started our work together, I started him in a primer phase because that's honestly what his body needed. And then we followed it up with a fat loss phase as he wanted to get in the best shape of his life prior to the daughter of his first child, Alina. And then after this fat loss phase finished, we completed a reverse diet phase. And at the end of that phase, we sat down together and we discussed his long-term goals. And he let me know that although he was like happy with the results we got from a fat loss perspective, he really wanted to gain a significant amount of muscle because he felt like he was able to get lean, but he was skinny in doing so. And so he really wanted to change that for the next time that we dieted down. So we started our muscle gain journey together in December of 2021. And we just ended it the first week of January 2024. So that was a 25-month period in which most of that time we focused on building muscle. And during the first week of his building phase, he was weighing 144 pounds. And by the end of this last building phase, he was up to 188 pounds, meaning that we gained 44 pounds in a little over 2 years. And in order to accomplish this goal and to accrue the 44 pounds, which is mostly muscle, because this kid has completely changed the shape of his physique, so lean, still in a great body composition perspective. But it required being sufficiently fueled in order to drive his training performance. And we spent the vast majority of each year in a slight surplus so that we can continue gaining tissue without detracting from the goal at hand and taking away too much time trying to spend diet. So we weren't trying to go through these cyclical periods of, you know, we're going to gain mass really quickly and then we're going to cut back. That wasn't the case. It was slow and steady. And then we would go into mini cuts, you know, maybe once to max twice per year, and it would be a short duration. So we may spend, you know, out of a 52-month year, we may have spent 46 weeks, you know, 44 to 46 weeks on honestly building, and then maybe 6 to 8 weeks most cutting. And so throughout this time period, you know, I really had to adjust his training and nutrition to suit his energetic needs and the demands of his physique, which now burns far more calories per day and needs much more nutrients, much more calories, and especially much more carbohydrates than it did just a few years ago. Now, his goal was to gain as much muscle as possible on his frame, which is not going to be everyone's goal, which I completely acknowledge. So it really is dependent on your goal in terms of how drastically do you want to improve your physique. Do you want to look night and day difference like Dimitri does? Or it could be the case where you're someone that just wants to gain a little bit of muscle tissue, or you just want to improve certain body parts. So another great example of a client of mine who's built muscle and drastically improved their physique is one of my clients, Nikki. So we're going to go to an example with a woman. And when Nikki first contacted me in December of 2022, she was dealing with, you know, functional hypothalamic amenorrhea and had lost her cycle for 3.5 years as a result of spending years overrestricting her calorie intake, overexpending herself, and overexerting herself with high intensity exercise. And this ended up leading her to a state where she was not only dealing with the loss of her menstrual cycle, which is, you know, hypothalamic amenorrhea, but she also had downregulated hormones, digestive issues, and a bunch of the symptoms of relative energy deficiency. So over the past year, we focused heavily on increasing her energy availability and properly fueling her training. Because another thing she was doing was she would train fasted. She would go large periods of the day without eating nutrients. You know, so there was so many aspects from a nutrient timing perspective, from an overall macro and micronutrient perspective, from a food quality perspective that I really had to dial in. But really what it was about was trying to, you know, progress her training, but also fuel her for the work being done. And so within that, and also with, you know, changing some of her programming, pulling back some of the high intensity cardio that was only leading her to have, you know, really high baseline cortisol levels and very high stress levels. We have spent the vast majority of our time working together at maintenance or in a slight surplus. And as a result of this approach, we've been able to not only restore her menstrual cycle after 3.5 years of having lost complete menstruation. So now we're at a point where she's finally back to cycling on a more regular basis, and her hormone profiles have drastically improved. So, you know, we do comprehensive blood work every few months, and each consecutive blood work panel that we get run, it is looking better and better. So she's in a really good state, but also she's built a substantial amount of muscle despite her scale weight only being a few pounds heavier now than when we started. So we essentially body recomped. And throughout the 56 weeks that we've been working together so far, only 6 of those weeks were spent in a deficit. And as a result of spending the majority of the year focused on fueling properly and progressively training to build muscle, we've been able to, when we do have a fat loss goal, we're able to get in, we're able to drop some body fat. And we've done that 2 times throughout the 56 weeks that we've worked together. One was for a photo shoot that she had that was last minute, and we got ready in 3 weeks. She looked phenomenal. And then the other was for a vacation that she had with her fiance and her family. And right after she got done with those events, whether it be the photo shoot or it be the vacation. As soon as she got back, we were right back to maintenance calories and then building back up her intake. So the message I'm trying to get across with both of these client case studies is that these clients both had the goal of gaining muscle, but when they came to me, they weren't brand new to training. So it takes and it requires taking a slow, strategic, and calculated approach where we aim for a slow rate of gain using a slight surplus and needed to spend the vast majority of each year focused on fueling and building muscle rather than doing what most do, which is bouncing from undereating to overeating. Which is why the vast majority of individuals are under-muscled and don't have the body composition they desire, even when they do get lean. So this is something that I really try to help my clients avoid making the mistakes of the past and then make the mistakes that I've seen so many others make in the, in the years that I've been coaching. So the next topic I want to cover is why slow and steady is the best approach for both fat loss and muscle gain goals. And so we'll first, dichotomize this, or we'll first compare this from a fat loss perspective, because honestly, that is the goal that the vast majority of people that I encounter have. So we'll cover that first, and then we'll go to muscle gain in terms of time courses and the approaches we take. So when you want fast fat loss and aim for an aggressive rate of loss per week, that requires you to create and maintain a large calorie deficit over the course of your diet. And this will result in quicker rates of weight loss, but also leads to a higher likelihood of losing lean mass, which also predisposes you to be at a higher likelihood of fat regain once you finish your diet. However, when you use a slower, more conservative deficit and aim for a more moderate rate of loss, your total body mass loss per week is lower on the scale, but you have a much higher likelihood of retaining more lean mass, which results in you losing more fat mass and body fat for every single pound that you lose. So this is more advantageous. Now, the opposite side of the equation, when muscle gain is your goal, a calorie surplus is beneficial. However, taking a slower rate of gain and using a slight surplus rather than a large surplus will allow you to gain muscle without gaining excessive fat mass. Because the data we have on using large surpluses in trained individuals shows that they gain around the same amount of muscle as they would if they used a moderate surplus or in the moderate surplus group, or just a bit more than those in the smaller surplus groups, but they gain a significantly greater amount of fat mass. And in most studies, we see about 5 to 6 times more fat gain when using a fast rate of gain as compared to a slow rate of gain of around 0.25% of body weight gain per week or 1% of body weight gain per month. Next topic I want to cover is the time course of fat loss compared to muscle gain and how easy it is to cut fat versus to gain muscle. And so one of the biggest fears I hear from those who want to gain muscle but don't want to eat in a surplus is that they don't want to gain fat. And believe me, I completely understand this. I think that within our industry, a lot of individuals have become fat phobic because of the influence of social media and the fact that people are only showing their shredded physiques on the gram. And I think this really has a large in, or really casts a large impression on others, especially in the general population, that they need to stay lean year round. And it's like, yeah, staying lean within your, upper and lower intervention point range, or so your body fat settling range, is a healthy endeavor. But for some people, they just can't stay as lean as others. And you have to just realize that we all have different genetics, we all have different lifestyles, we have different training, programs, activity levels. There's so many individual characteristics that influence our body fat percentage that we can maintain. And then also, there's a lot of individuals that stay lean. So I'll tell you myself, I generally will stay leaner, but I've had periods of my life and periods of my training where I've been 50 pounds heavier than I am now. I put in a substantial amount of time building tissue where I built a base of muscle, and now I'm able to stay leaner than I have, than I did in my 20s. Because of the fact that I built and I spent years eating in a surplus and making sure I was in a well-fed state. And even now I still eat, I'm always in sufficient energy availability, but I'm able to stay leaner now because I have a foundation of muscle built, which a lot of people that try to stay leaner than they should, they just don't have that foundation. And I think it's important to realize that gaining some fat is a completely normal and inherent part of the muscle gain process. As unless you're brand new to training, every single pound that you gain isn't going to come strictly from lean mass. However, what we want to do is to, essentially what we want to do during a lean building phase is to eat in enough of a surplus to meet the energetic demands of your training, to push your training performance and enhance your recovery capacity so you're in the best environment, both training and nutrition-wise, to grow muscle. However, I think one thing many who fear building phases fail to realize is that fat loss is achieved much quicker than muscle gain is. And any fat that you do gain during a building phase can easily be lost in a very short period of time, which is something that I think more people would benefit from realizing and really thinking about the time courses of this. So I want to go through this, but first and foremost, I really have to get across the fact that if you're unwilling to put on any amount of fat mass, even if it's just a small amount during a building phase, you're going to hinder your ability to put on muscle as efficiently and productively as possible. Second of all, Those who have gained the most muscle and the vast majority of individuals who have physiques you see and you aspire to achieve have been willing to stay in a surplus for an extended period of time. These people have put in years, just like I mentioned about myself. All these, shredded physiques on the gram that have muscle, these are people that put time, in a surplus, and they've done it for years in and years out. Probably have a much higher training experience than you guys do, and have been not shredded during their off seasons. You know what I mean? And also, I think there's something to be said about the fact that you may not be seeing them in their off season, so it gives you a mischaracterization of what their physique really looks like. And so, really, when it comes down to it, these individuals have spent a significant amount of time in a surplus, and they did gain a bit of fat in the process for the benefits they gained during a building phase, in terms of building metabolically active muscle tissue, which makes their physique look better, provides them with a better shape to their physique, greater strength, and sets them up with a greater foundation to cut from, both muscle mass and calorie wise, once their building phase is over. And then third, I also think most don't realize how quick the fat that is gained over a building phase can be lost in. So I'll give two different examples to really get this point across to you guys, because this is something, I've worked with over 1,000 clients at this point, and this is something I've taken hundreds of people through. And so I had the data on this. And I think that if you guys understand this and realize this, it'll make the process of buying into a building phase much easier, and it'll allow you to wrap your head around it in a much more conducive and productive fashion. So, first example, if I have a woman who's 130 pounds and who comes to me for a building phase and is an intermediate trainee, I'll most likely target that 1% rate of body weight gain per month unless she's truly uncomfortable with it and it's going to impact her psychology and her motivation to train, in which I'll go a little bit slower. But say her goal is to gain a significant amount of muscle mass and improve her overall shape and gain muscle, say, in her glutes, she'd gain, or we would target, a rate of gain of around 1.3 pounds per month. So if she stays in a building phase for 6 months, she'd gain around 7.8 pounds, so a little under 8 pounds. Now, say that 75% of that is from lean mass and 25% of that is from fat mass. Within that time, she would have gained 5.8 pounds of muscle tissue and around 2 pounds of fat. Now, the rate at which we lose fat is much quicker than the rate at which we gain muscle. And so normally, I'll target a weekly rate of loss during a fat loss phase between 0.25 to 1% rate of loss per week. But during the beginning of a fat loss phase, that target is usually between 0.5 to 1% rate of loss per week. That means within 2 to 4 weeks of us entering a mini cut or a fat loss phase, we drop the 2 pounds of fat that she gained, but she now looked better than before because she has an extra 5 pounds of muscle tissue on her frame. Another example would be a larger male client of mine who's an advanced trainee and starts the building phase at, say, 200 pounds. If we do a 6 month building phase, he'd gain at a total of 2 pounds per month for, and over the course of that 6 month phase, he would gain 12 pounds in the process. Now, as an advanced trainee, his rate of muscle growth may be slower than it would be for the intermediate or for the female that's a little bit less trained. So say that he gains 2/3 of his weight from muscle and 1/3 of fat for every pound gained. That means he would have gained 8 pounds of lean mass and 4 pounds of fat mass. Well, when we transition into a fat loss phase, those 4 pounds of fat would also be lost in 2 to 4 weeks, as he's at a higher body weight. So if we target that upper end of the weekly rate of loss target of 1%, he'll lose 2 pounds per week. But even if we go slower and we target a 0.5% rate of loss per week, he'd lose all 4 pounds of that fat that he gained during a 6 month building phase in just 4 weeks of being in a deficit. So think about the time course of that. It's happening six times faster than that muscle gain happened. Now, here's the thing. For both the female and the male client, when they end that fat loss phase after the building phase has been completed, they will have netted a significant amount of lean mass. So at the end of that fat loss phase, they're a more muscular and leaner version of themselves. So in both cases, these individuals went into a building phase for 6 months and then followed it up with a 4 week cut at most. And within the course of 7 months, it resulted in a much more muscular body composition because we use a periodized approach to their nutrition and body composition goals. So now they have more muscle and no more fat than they started with because we dropped the fat that they gained during the building phase right after it and in a quick manner at that. And so now they're actually at a lower body fat percentage than they started the building phase off with, because they now have more lean mass on their frame, yet technically the same total amount of pounds of fat on their frame, but they're a larger individual. So their lean mass to fat mass ratio is skewed more in the direction of higher lean mass as compared to fat mass. The last topic I want to cover on today's podcast is the importance of building a foundational muscle mass, even if your goal is to be leaner. And I find that many enter a fat loss phase with the thought process that if they just lose body fat, they'll be able to attain the lean muscular physique they desire. Yet many have completed diets and lost fat in the process, only to end the phase and realize that they still don't have the physique they desire. And more times than not, it's because these individuals either didn't have as much muscle as their goal physique required prior to the dieting phase starting, or they lost a substantial amount of muscle tissue during the deficit itself due to taking an aggressive approach to dieting, which is so common in today's society. And the fact is that the vast majority of individuals are under-muscled and could benefit from gaining more lean mass, but due to never focusing on a building phase and never focusing on building a substantial amount of muscle, this drastically impacts their body composition and their ability to get lean, as well as the look of their physiques once they do get lean. And if you don't have a solid foundation of muscle mass prior to starting a fat loss phase, the best course of action is to invest a prolonged period of time into building quality muscle tissue so that you can set yourself up for success when you do devote your time, your energy, and your effort into a dieting phase. If not, you'll just continue dieting and becoming a skinnier, smaller version of yourself rather than becoming a better, leaner, fitter, and stronger version of yourself by improving your body composition through the process of losing fat and maintaining the muscle tissue that you gained prior to starting your diet. And this is why I'm a big advocate of building a foundational muscle, especially for those who want to achieve a lean muscular physique. And if you're unhappy with how your physique looks currently, you can massively improve it by focusing on the process of building muscle. And this is because adding muscle allows us to look better at our current body fat percentage or even at a slightly higher body fat percentage. And it also allows us to look our best when we get lean after a fat loss phase. And putting on muscle can also allow you to look leaner even at a higher body fat percentage, as it gives you the shape you desire and improves your proportion. So body fat looks better when there's more muscle underneath it. So if you're someone who wants, you're a guy and you want bigger chests and arms to fill out your shirts, or you're a woman and you want bigger glutes to fill out your pants, you need to focus on building muscle, as you're not going to diet your way to filling out your clothes the way you want to. So by focusing on building a foundation of muscle, we can improve your physique and build better habits so that the next time you do diet down, you'll have even more muscle. And even if you get down to the exact same level of body fat that you have in previous diets, your physique will look far better this time around. So when it comes to, muscle, essentially, muscle is metabolic currency and it's investment, and it's the best investment you can make into your long-term body composition goals and your metabolic health, which is why I believe most would benefit from spending more time focused on building muscle than they do dieting. And so, as always, guys, thank you for listening to the show and for your continued support. Please be sure to follow the show, whether that be on iTunes or Spotify. Leave us a review on iTunes, and also be sure to share the show on your stories. I always love seeing that. I always anyone that does that, that I interact with you, repost you, and will thank you for doing so. But also share this with someone you care about. Share this on your story so that someone else can benefit from the information that I'm putting out and really trying to get across and help people bridge the gap between information and application so that they're able to set themselves up for a better, more fruitful and productive, not only health and fitness journey, but also life in general. So let's really make 2024 a year in which we're able to have our most productive growth, both physically, mentally, and health-wise as well. So as always, guys, if you need anything from me, you guys can find me on Instagram, which my handle is @BrandonDeCruz_, or through my email, which is bdecruzfitness@gmail.com. Peace.